Good morning. My name's Roger Lewis, and I'd like to welcome you to St. Nick's today. And especially if we've not met, please introduce yourself to me over at morning tea. Well, in the last few days, on Friday, it was Anzac Day, you might have heard the Anzac Ode, these words. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them, lest we forget. Now, those poignant words, lest we forget, were actually first made popular from a poem that was written by Rudyard Kipling. And that poem includes these words: Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. But actually, that idea, lest we forget, dates from earlier than that poem. In fact, it dates all the way back to the Bible. It comes from Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 12. And in the old language of the King James Bible, that reads, "Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." So the Bible tells us that there are some things that it is good to remember, that we don't want to forget. And if God has rescued you from captivity, if you're no longer under the thumb of an oppressor, it's good to remember that. If you're no longer a slave to fear, if God has rescued you from that slavery, it's good to remember that, to be surrounded with a song of deliverance from your enemies. It's good to remember these things. Here are some other things the Bible says it's good to remember. Remember the Lord your God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. So lots of things that it's good to remember. And the Bible tells us that God remembers. God remembers his people, and God remembers his promises. So, for example, the Bible tells us God remembered Noah. God remembered Abraham. God remembered Rachel. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God has remembered his love and his faithfulness to his people. God remembers. In fact, you might say no one has a better memory than God. No person, no phone, no computer, no matter how many megabytes you upgrade, or gigabytes or terabytes, no one has a better memory than God. Now, having said that, here's the thing. Here's the remarkable thing. God, who is able to remember everything, God who can remember anything, that God chooses to forget some things. So if you look with me at the end of this verse that we heard read from Jeremiah chapter 31, the end of verse 34 has these words, God speaking, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Now let's pause to take that in. God says these things: I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. Well, I think it's amazing that God forgives us, but there's more in this verse. That's just the first half of the verse. God not only forgives, but God forgets. It's amazing. It's amazing that God forgives us, but God's amazing grace doesn't stop there. As you see, God forgives and God remembers no more. God forgets. Now, you may know Madonna sang, you may have sung along, "I can forgive, but I will never forget." Okay, that's Madonna's song, but that's not God's song. As you see here, this is God's song. "I will forgive and I will remember their sins no more." John F. Kennedy was reputed to have said, "Forgive your enemies. Forgive your enemies, but never forget their names." Okay, so God is not like that. God is not like that. God forgives and God forgets. Now, once I was driving up a hill near Lucas Height, you might know there, up from the Warrenora River, and a police officer met me at the top of the hill and just asked me what speed I thought I was doing. well, you may know it's a speed limit 70 kilometres an hour there. So I said, 70 kilometres an hour? And the police officer seemed to think I might have been doing a bit more. So he took my licence and went back and checked with his computer or something. And, you know, so I thought I'm going to get a ticket. But instead, I was issued with a caution. You know, that meant I wasn't going to be fined, but it would go on my record. So, you know, in one sense, it was overlooked. My misdemeanour was overlooked. I wasn't fined. But in another sense, it wasn't overlooked. It was on the record. And that's the nature of a caution. The offence is forgiven, but it's not forgotten. But you see, God is better than that, better than that policeman. God said, I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember the sin no more. You know, this is an amazing thought that God really, 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 really does not remember our forgiven sin. It's pretty clear here in Jeremiah, but let me give you some other parts of the Bible that speak of this. In Micah 7:19, we have these words, God will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. They're gone. You know, they're trampled. They're thrown to the deeps. In Isaiah 1:18, we read, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. They're just completely refreshed, overwritten, erased, not red or crimson, but white as snow, white as wool. And Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That far, you can't get further than that. As far as the east is from the west, so far God has removed our transgressions from us. In Isaiah 38:17, King Hezekiah writes, you have put all my sins behind your back. What a beautiful picture. God has the sins of Hezekiah in front of him and puts them behind his back, out of sight, out of mind. That's what the Bible says. So, you know, you might have had a Magna Doodle. Anyone got a Magna Doodle? And you're drawing something and, you know, you mess it up. God turns it upside down, shakes it up, and what's there before is completely gone. Or perhaps you do something, you work with a whiteboard. There it is, your sin is written up on the whiteboard. God comes along and he erases it. He wipes the whiteboard clean. You might say, but hang on, Roger, I've really messed up. That bad thing I did, it's still on the whiteboard. It's actually written on there. I should have written on with a whiteboard marker, but I wrote on it with a permanent marker. You know, God's not going to be able to wipe it clean. But tell you what, God has got a rag dipped in alcohol. He can wipe out that permanent pen. The whiteboard is as white as a whiteboard can be. It's whiter than snow. God's dealing with sin is like that. It's like on the beach. There are some footprints on the beach. There's some sandcastles. A wave comes in, washes it away. It's just completely cleared. It's completely gone. Well, in Isaiah 43:25, God says, Even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Here the picture is God blotting out the transgressions, writing over them so they can't be read. And you'll notice in that passage, God said, even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. So when God does this, when God remembers our sins no more, he's doing it for his own sake. It is a reflection of his character. God is being true to himself in doing this. It's not an involuntary memory lapse like we might forget, you know, where we parked the car or where our keys are or where are our keys and where do we park the car. It's not like that. It's not a defect in God's character. In fact, it's a reflection of the perfection of God's character, that God makes a deliberate decision, a deliberate choice to not bring to mind our forgiven sin. It's been said, divine mercy transcends memory. God has this ability to remember everything, but he chooses to forget our forgiven sin. You know, this is staggering. God knows every hair on our head. We just sang, all my ways are known to you. God knows everything about it, but he chooses not to remember our sins when we confess them. This applies to all our sins. There may be something you've done just only you know about. You did it behind closed doors. Maybe it's just something you thought nobody else knows about it but you and God. If you ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you, and God will forget that. And maybe you have trouble forgetting it. Maybe it still weighs on you, but God has forgotten it. Or maybe there was something you did just, you know, only one other person knows about. Maybe you wronged someone close to you. You've asked for forgiveness, God has forgiven you, and God has forgotten. It may be that other person still holds on to that wrongdoing. That person you offended might not be able to let it go. Maybe your father or your mother still reminds you of something you did as a child, or perhaps your husband or your wife tells you of a mistake you made, or perhaps your children remind you of a shortfall in the way you treated them. But if you have asked forgiveness from God, God remembers it no more. Or perhaps you've done something very publicly wrong. There's something that was televised, or it's in the newspaper. You can't take back what you did. It's there for everyone to see. And you might have said you're sorry and asked for the public to forgive you, and perhaps some people have forgiven you, but perhaps others don't accept your apology. Well, God will accept your apology, and God will forget that mistake. It's amazing. God forgives and God forgets. And when we're talking about a public scandal, I don't think we can do better than this one that's described in Psalm 51. That it was written by David after he'd wronged Uriah and Bathsheba. And look at David's plea. Have mercy on me, O God. David's repenting here. He's sorry. He's apologising to God. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Well, we know God is a loving and compassionate God and forgives, and God has granted David's request, blotted out the transgression, washed away the iniquity, cleaned the sin. In God's eyes, David was whiter than snow. That's from verse 7 of Psalm 51. God remembers David's sin no more. And here's a strange thing. We remember David's sin. Isn't that curious? Here it is in black and white. Here we are. We're recounting David's sin. And just to put this in perspective, David lived about 3,000 years ago. So you might have done something wrong last week or a year ago or 10 years ago, you still remember. This wasn't done 100 years ago. This was done thousands of years ago. And we still have it here and we can still remember it. It's there. How would you feel if you were David? We're talking about his wrongdoing now, long after he's dead and buried. But God has forgiven that sin and God has forgotten. It's amazing. But that's what Jeremiah said. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. You know, well, how can this be? Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 10, which goes through some of the steps. It talks here about in days of old, what used to happen. Day after day, the priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. So these priests used to give sacrifices over and over again. It was like constantly reminding people of their sins, constantly trying to get this forgiveness. But there was no long-term benefit. And we see in the next verse, in verse 12, describing Jesus here, when this priest, when Jesus had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. So this was the effectual sacrifice, Jesus offering his own life offered on the cross. Then he sat down at the right hand of God, mission accomplished. We sang earlier, the Lamb has overcome. The Lamb was the sacrifice, and by his sacrifice he has overcome sin. Forever he is glorified, forever he is lifted high. He sat down at the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is now, ascended and with God in heaven at God's right hand. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. That's just what we've commemorated at Easter last weekend. Jesus, the Lamb, has overcome by his sacrifice. And then in verse 14, we read, for by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That is our eternal status. Our eternal standing, we are made perfect forever and we are being made holy now. What can wash away our sins? What can make us whole? Again, what can make us perfect? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Makes us whole, makes us perfect. What can wash us pure as snow? Nothing but your blood, King Jesus. That is it. It's gone. It's like newly fallen snow. The sin is gone because of Jesus' one sacrifice. And day by day, we are being made holy. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in our lives to sanctify us. And the Holy Spirit then is quoted here, or God quoted, "I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." This is the work of the Spirit, to internalize the law of God, to write it in our hearts and minds so that it becomes natural to us and so we act accordingly. And then going on in Hebrews 10, quoting Jeremiah, the verse, the key verse today, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And that verse is quoted in Hebrews 8 as well as in Hebrews 10, as well as appearing in Jeremiah. It's an important concept that's repeated over and over again in the Bible. And where sins have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. So I want to say, I don't want you to give the impression that God just forgets about sin, like, "Oh, forget about that," or, you know, "Doesn't matter, I'll forget about that." God doesn't simply forget sin as if it never happened. No, there are some steps in the process. Sin is dealt with. Sin is taken seriously by God. But it's been dealt with now by the one-time sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Sin has been addressed. It's been met face to face with Jesus on the cross, and it's been dealt with. And because of that sacrifice, because of that sacrifice, sin can be forgiven. And then sin, when it's forgiven, is forgotten. Our sins were transferred from us to Jesus on the cross. And so God can look at us as if we have never sinned. And God doesn't bring to mind again that we have sinned. Trusting Jesus to deal with your sin is how you become a Christian and how you remain a Christian. I just heard before, everyone can be in the family of God by accepting and trusting Jesus. Okay, that's it. Everyone can be in the family of God by accepting and trusting Jesus. So our sin is gone. So God searches in his filing system. I think at 8 a.m. they were thinking he was looking in a filing cabinet, but I know you guys will all be looking on your computer. Okay, so God runs his mouse over. He finds a file that's marked Roger Lewis, and he opens up that folder, and in there's a folder marked Sins. So God goes and he clicks on that folder under the name Roger Lewis Sins, and he looks in that folder and it's empty. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. I was thinking there were some files there, but they're gone. What's happened? Those files were transferred to another place in the system under another folder under the name of Jesus Christ. But when God clicks on Roger Lewis and clicks on the folder marked Sin, there's nothing there. So, the one-time sacrifice of Jesus has opened the gate that we can go into to come to God today. And if we confess our sins, we know that God will forgive our sins. But amazingly, and perhaps what you haven't dwelt on before, is that God will not only forgive the sin, but will remember it no more. The sin is completely gone. "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." So, as I've been speaking today, I know someone at 8 a.m. told me they were reminded of a particular sin. You may have been reminded of some sin in your life, maybe something even you did today, or maybe something you did a long time ago, or maybe something you keep doing, and you may be feeling uncomfortable about that, or guilty or ashamed. And I certainly don't want you to leave here feeling uncomfortable or guilty or ashamed. I want you to leave forgiven, knowing you're forgiven, and feeling forgiven. And knowing that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. And what is more, he'll forget about them. So you might imagine your sin written on a piece of paper. It's as if God goes through and blots it out. He's got this big black marker pen. He blots out the sin. You can't read a thing. It's like those things that have been censored, redacted. Somebody's drawn these lines. You can't read what's there. It's gone. It's unreadable. So it's like that. Or it's like then God taking that piece of paper that's unreadable and feeding it through a shredder, okay, just to make sure. An industrial grade shredder, right? It's completely shredded. No way it can be reconstructed. It's gone, okay? That's how God deals with our sin. Or it's like this. God takes that shredded paper that's completely blotted out and he throws it on the fire and he burns it, okay? It's gone up in smoke. It's disappeared. It's completely, utterly gone. That's how God deals with our sin. So I'll just mention in passing, I'm not asking you today to forgive anyone. That's a story for another day. I'm not asking you even to forgive yourself. That's a topic for another day. Really what I'm asking you to do is marvel at the goodness of God. We have a God who is so good, a God so good that he not only forgives us our sins, but he forgets them as well. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, may your Holy Spirit work in us to convict us of our sin. Thank you that your Son offered for all time one sacrifice for sin. Thank you that you are faithful and just, and if we confess our sins, you will forgive us our sins. Put them behind your back, trample them underfoot, hurl them to the bottom of the sea, blot them out, remember them no more. May your Holy Spirit put your law in our hearts and write it in our minds. Amen.